hi, and thanks for listening to KSUT. I'm Sarah Flower, joined with Leanne Jalan, the Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, for our weekly COVID-19 update. Leanne, we just spoke last Friday to give the community some pretty big news that our cases are alarmingly high compared to what they have been since the beginning of this pandemic. Now, this is our back to our regularly scheduled program, leaving where we left off on Friday. Case counts are high, 36 yesterday, 28 the day before, 21 on Friday, and then the numbers came in at 37 the day before. So we're getting up there, Leanne.
We are. And so, you know, it did not improve, you know, over the weekend since Friday. In fact, we saw a bigger jump over the weekend than we had even seen last week. And a lot of the cases that we started investigating this weekend, unfortunately, track back to Halloween activity the previous weekend. So on Friday, when we talked, we said, you know, this is kind of spread out throughout the community. That still remains true. But we also saw an additional kind of spike this past weekend that tracks back to the previous weekend of Halloween. And that's something we were really concerned about prior to the holiday, was really kind of letting the community know that things had changed and that we were asking people to change their Halloween plans. Unfortunately, it looks like we did have a lot of social gatherings that weekend, and it is showing up in our case counts now.
New in the news this week, Leanne, Fort Lewis College has announced that starting today, they will be having their classes go online. However, Tom Strudikas, president of Fort Lewis College, did say that they are not seeing classroom transmission. Let's talk about this and these decisions that are so hard about in-person learning and students possibly going remotely.
Yeah, and these are hard decisions. These are hard for, you know, K-12. It's hard for colleges. It's hard for the community college. Like, none of this is, you know, easy decisions. Tons of planning have gone in for weeks and months around how schools will accommodate, you know, students, whether they're children or whether they're adult learners. And, you know, people ask us all the time, like, well, what is the set metric for when, you know, schools will close? And we talk about it in this way that it's not necessarily a set metric. It's an ongoing discussion around what we're seeing in the community, because we are still, you know, learning new things about how this virus behaves. It appears as though we're learning right now that this virus is much more contagious as we move inside and we move into colder weather. We're seeing that everywhere in the country, right? So one of the things we talk about is the things we were doing September, October, while the case counts were low in the community, you know, proved to be safe because there was less disease in the community, less infection in the community. So different activities spread less infection. Once you have more infection, those types of activities become less safe and they just share more, you know, infection from person to person. So what we're seeing in the school settings, both the college settings and the K-12 settings, is the precautions in place in the school setting are good, and we're not seeing transmission occurring in the actual school setting. But anyone who goes to school or teaches at a school is also a member of the community, and we're seeing a lot more spread everywhere in the community. So the challenge becomes, how do we, you know, do two things, which is educate children, keep a workforce employed, and also protect health of individuals. You know, that's our job right now. So what we do, every single one of us, the choices we make actually have impact on how the schools can operate, because the more infection there is in the community, the harder it becomes for the schools to operate safely, simply because we run out of, you know, there's too much absenteeism, too many staff who's potentially exposed, too many staff who's actually sick, too many students who were sick or exposed. You know, in the college's case, they then also have the responsibility for providing the quarantine and isolation for students who live on campus. So all of those systems become stressed when there's more infection in the community, and then we start to see different schools having to make different choices.
Leanne, some of the narrative that's around the increased numbers, particularly in La Plata County, is that, well, that they're doing more testing, so of course there's more positive cases. Let's talk to that narrative and the truth or falsehoods behind that.
Well, first of all, I want to say that we're very lucky in this community to have testing available. We hear from so many communities around Colorado, and in fact, some of the most populous regions, there isn't enough testing right now. So we are lucky that people that are symptomatic, people that have been exposed, people that are engaged in high-risk activities can get in for testing at this time. We have seen our positivity rate increase in our testing as our numbers of cases increase. What we learn when the positivity rate increases while the number of cases increase is that we are not driving our increased cases by increased testing. And if your positivity rate increases past 5%, like we're seeing in many communities around Colorado right now, they're at 10%, 15%, 20%, what the World Health Organization tells you is at that point, your testing is not adequate to find enough cases to control disease through case investigations, and you have to increase your other mitigation strategies in the community. So that's a little bit of how that works. It is difficult to get all of the information out, but the bottom line is our increase in cases is not based on increased testing. And we are lucky to have the amount of testing we have in this community. And in fact, our increase in cases is so steep right now, we may be back here next week saying we no longer have enough testing in this community. And that's something we're really worried about, but we are seeing such increases in cases that we are working tirelessly 24 hours a day with community partners for the last couple of days to figure out how to bring more testing to the community.
The last topic I'd like to bring up today with you is that piece of working tirelessly. Your contact tracers have been able to maintain 100% contact tracing of these individuals. Are we still able to hit that threshold, or do the increase of positive cases mean that 100% is slipping a little bit?
Right now, San Juan Basin Public Health is still able to complete 100% of case investigations. There, of course, are some delays in resulting because labs around the country are stressed, meaning that their capacity is stressed beyond their limit. So that slows down when we get the result to start the investigation. One of the things that we're finding is the case investigations are much more intense now than they were at other times in this pandemic, because so much of life has returned to normal in Southwest Colorado. So when people do get positive results, we have lots of contacts to track down from the workplace and from social gatherings. So part of what happens when you reach this kind of tipping point is the reason we're really encouraging people to work from home if you can, and it is time to cancel our social gatherings, right? If we can't do it outside when the weather is nice, then please don't do it at all unless it's with your household. And the reason for that is that when we reach a burden of infection in the community and needs around contact tracing that exceed our capacity, we will spread more infection in the community and we'll see that exponential growth. So that's what's happening all over Colorado right now. So yes, we are maintaining case investigations. We are starting to triage the workplace outbreaks. And this is really, really tough right now because the overwhelming majority of people that are coming back positive did expose other people in their workplace. So this is a little bit of the challenge right now. So one of the ways the community can help get ahead of this is if people are really careful to only go to in-person work if they have to. And certainly don't go if you're symptomatic, if you've been exposed. And then the other challenge we're running into in the community is because we have testing available, when people hear that someone in their workplace is positive or someone that they socialize with is positive, they're able to quickly get in for a test. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that you can take yourself off quarantine. So what's happening is people are hearing, I was exposed to someone who's positive. I'm going to get a test really quickly. If that test comes back negative, then I can continue to go to work and I can continue to socialize. And that's simply not the case. The incubation period for COVID-19 is 14 days. So if there's a potential that you've been exposed, your job is to stay home for 14 days. We know that's really hard. We have resources to help people do that if they need help paying bills, if they need help with food. You know, there are ways we can help make you more successful at staying home for 14 days, but that's becoming a really important piece of this, is if you've been exposed, stay home for 14 days.
Leanne John, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners here today?
You know, we have seen increased cases before in our community. We've been able to turn it around. The pressures on us now are greater than they've been at any time, because what we're seeing around Colorado is about 30 something counties have reached metrics that would indicate that their next step is should be a stay at home order. So those counties are all working really hard to avoid getting into that next category. We haven't reached that category yet, but with the pressures and what we're seeing all around Colorado, we expect that we will be, you know, following the 30-something counties that are ahead of us in their numbers requiring a hard look at a stay-at-home order. We, as individuals, can change our behavior now and hopefully avoid that. So let's all do it.
Leanne Jalan, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT for our weekly COVID-19 update.